Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Continued readings from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 11, titled Lord Krishna's Entrance into Dvaraka, text 23, I think. Yes. Svayam cha guru bir viprai. Sararai stavararapi. Asir bir yujamano nyar. Vandibhis cha visatparam Svayam cha guru bir viprai Sarai stavar arapi Asir bir yujamano nyar Vandibhis cha visatparam Svayam cha guru bir viprai Sarai stavararapi Asirbir yujamanonyar Vandibhis chavi satparam Svayam cha guru bhir viprayam Sarai stavararapi Asirbir yujamanonyar Vandibhis cha visat param Svayam cha guru bir viprai Stararai starvarar api Asibir yujamano nyar Vandibhis cha visat param Svayam cha guru bir viprai Sararai stavarar api Asir bir yujamano nyar Vandibhis cha visat param Svayam cha guru bir viprai Sararai stavarar api Asibir yujamano nyar Vandibhis cha visatpuram Svayam himself cha also gurubi by elderly relatives viprai by the brahmanas Sararai with their wives stavarai Invalid, api, also, asibi, asirbi, sorry, by the blessing of yujamana, being praised by, anyai, by others, vandibi, admirers, cha, and avisat, entered, puram, the city. Translation. Then the Lord personally entered the city accompanied by elderly relatives and invalid brahmanas with their wives, all offering benedictions and singing the glories of the Lord. Others also praised the glories of the Lord. Please repeat. Then the Lord personally entered the city accompanied by elderly relatives and invalid brahmanas with their wives. All offering benedictions and singing the glories of the Lord. Others also praised the glories of the Lord. Purpurpur Srila Prabhupada. Jai Prabhupada. The Brahmanas in society were never attentive to banking money for future retired life. When they were old invalids, they used to approach the assembly of the kings, and simply by praising the glorious deeds performed by the kings, along with their wives, they would be provided with all necessities of life. Such brahmanas were not, so to speak, flatterers of the kings, but the kings were actually glorified by their actions, and they were sincerely still more encouraged in pious acts by such brahmanas in a dignified way. Lord Sri Krishna is worthy of all glories, and the praying brahmanas and others were glorified themselves by chanting the glories of the Lord. Om Gyanate Marandajan Janandana Shalagya Jaksun Minidam Yenatas May Shri Guru Vinamaha Shri Chitanya Manobishnam Stabdam Yenavutade Svayam Rupaga Mamayam Dadati Svabarandigam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adreta Kararar Shivasadi Kara Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. How much time do we have, Prabhu? I'm sorry.
Go at least until 10 o'clock, and often, so you have at least an hour.
An hour? We give an hour class? Okay. what do you usually do, some Sankirtan firing up in the hour class, or just straight Shastric stuff, or... Whatever, my goodness, an hour. I wasn't expecting an hour. Okay.
There can be a long discussion session.
Oh, that sounds good, yes.
And we can talk questions. About what you guys have been doing.
Okay. All right, fair enough. Translation repeated. Then the Lord personally entered the city, accompanied by elderly relatives and invalid brahmanas with their wives, all offering benedictions and singing the glories of the Lord. Others also praise the glories of the Lord. So thank you in advance for giving me an opportunity to get purified. I know I'm very not qualified, so thank you for tolerating me in advance. Hopefully, by the mercy of Krishna, I will be able to say something that inspires you to advance further in Krishna consciousness. So it's interesting to note, I remember... by a pretty advanced person, I was kind of surprised. He said, "You know, I'm a little concerned with you, Parameshwar. You're just going out and distributing books all day, and you have no like preparation for your future." I was like shocked at this person, you know, because I really admired this person, and that's cool, and I still do, but it just shocked me, because you know, Prabhupada's whole mood is, you know, preach and die on the battlefield. What do you have to worry about retirement for, you know? So it's not like, okay, Prabhupada encouraged people to distribute books up until the day they die, the moment that they die. He said, if you do that, then Lord Chaitanya will personally take you back home, back to Godhead. So I can't think of anything more glorious than that, personally, or anything worth more striving for. So if we can just keep endeavoring and perform our devotional service, then, you know, that's the most glorious life. Not that we have to bank money to prepare for future retired life. So here we have the Vedic culture. It's a perfect culture. There's so much etiquette that we learn in the Vedic culture. You know, we do this, we don't do that. There's a ranking system that makes sense, you know, so people get along nicely, so there's not chaos. So there's actually progress. And progress, really, progress means pleasing Krishna more and more and more. So here we have the brahmanas in society were never attentive to banking money for future retired life. And Prabhupada's guru would put the temple in debt. He didn't need to, but he knew that if he put the temple in debt, always kept it in debt, then people would work harder. Otherwise, everything's paid, everything's cool, we can just kick back, eat, and sleep. Right, honor prasadam and then pass out for a few days, you know. But that's not the best way to go. And in the temple that I was raised with, Dasarath Prabhu, what a great soul! He would do the same thing. We would be serving like anything all the time in this like desperate state of consciousness, in a sense, and we would put in immense hours and quality hours of service, and a lot got done. So it's a good mood to have, also, like, you know, eating, honoring prasadam and just relying on Krishna where the next plate of prasad is going to be. We don't know. We don't know, actually. You know, we chant Hare Krishna, we don't know what's going to happen in the next second, right? At every moment, we don't know what's going to happen. You might be dead and a bullet might come through the window right now. You might die of a heart attack right now. Or on Sankirtan today, something might happen. The temple might get bulldozed in an hour. You never know what's going to happen. You know, really. It might be a massive earthquake and everybody croaks. So, you know, what is this saving for future retired life? And where does Kali hang out? He hang out where gold is stored. So if you got some gold stored, then you're just simply attracting Kali. You know? He's allowed to go where the gold is stored, right? And so, you know, so people that just are like holding on to their money, holding on, you know, there's no flow. There's nothing happening. Then we go down book distribution and we see that. Even the beggars in the street, they got 7 pennies in their thing. I saw this yesterday in Santa Cruz. I tried distributing this guy a book. He's like, no, I really need my money. You know, 7 pennies. You know, whoop-de-doo. You know, he's got 7 pennies. It's like a penny or more will do. No, I really need my 7 pennies. It's like, my God. And not to mention what, you know, people amassing lots of wealth are doing the same thing. And what are they getting from this? Because they're holding on, they don't get any mercy. Like who was it that got the stone? What was the name of that stone? Where you touch anything, it turns to gold.
Touchstone.
The touchstone, thank you. Yes. So he was asked by one of the Goswamis, I do believe, everybody probably knows this story, right? Yeah. So what did he do? He threw it in the river. He had to throw it in the river to get something better. So that's the mood that we should have. You know, give it all to Krishna. Here, take it all, Krishna. I'm just going to rely on you only, Krishna. You know, it's boring. It's mundane doing the conditional life anyways. Let's just go for some fun and something exciting will happen. You know, as it states in Bhagavad Gita, it's a thrill at every moment if we really practice Krishna consciousness correctly. It's a thrill, wow, at every moment. So we can have this life if we apply ourselves correctly, which really means give everything to Krishna. Do everything for Krishna. Use the words, the mind, the body, all for Krishna, only, all the time, unmotivated and uninterrupted. And then it's a thrill at every moment. And then we don't know what's going to happen next. Then we can't predict, oh, I figured you out. No, we don't know. What do we don't know anything? Oh, I know where you're coming from. Do I really? You know? I mean, Krishna is in the background of everything. He can make anything happen at any time. And he does. We go on Sankirtan with a pure motive, and things come out of the woodwork. Things just happen. So this is the mood of a Brahmana. Not the kind of Brahmanas that sometimes we see in India that have some motives going on there, but a true, real Brahmana, one who knows Brahman, spirit, knows that we are spirit, and preferably engages. And it's interesting to note here, actually, that Prabhupada says, such Brahmanas were not, so to speak, flatterers of the kings, but the kings were actually glorified by their actions. So a truly independent person is one who is fully dependent on Krishna, which a Brahmana should be, fully dependent on Krishna. So he's in no need of flattering people. I found that amazing about Vrindavan. Everywhere an American goes, they're treated with greater respect because they got the money. But in Vrindavan, I didn't get that. Well, maybe occasionally, but generally, I didn't get that. And I was shocked. This guy's just not interested in my money. There's a lot of Brahmanas. The storekeepers were Brahmanas and this and that. And I didn't get that usual extra respect. So it was really wonderful, actually, very, very refreshing to actually not being flattered, you know. And so a real Brahmana doesn't need to flatter anybody. He's fully independent. He's just relying on Krishna. Of course, Krishna perfectly takes care of such a person that fully relies on him. So we don't need to unnecessarily flatter somebody like the kings who have the money in order to get some money. As we see, like beggars down in Santa Cruz, you know, they learn some tricks, you know, how to get money out of people, you know. And but they're dependent on them. So they're not dependent on Krishna. Interesting to know. So this is something we should also... and of course the kings, these weren't just normal kings back then. These were like real devotee kings. And interesting to note that the kings were glorified by the actions of the brahmanas. For a brahmana, austerity... They like austerities. What is that verse? Yes, austerity is the wealth of the brahmanas. So everybody's looking for wealth pretty much. But for a brahman, he doesn't necessarily look for the dollar. He's looking for austerity. More austerities to please Krishna. Like it's time to serve out prasad. Ah, chai, I get to serve out prasad. Runs for it. Or hey, I can... I have an opportunity to clean the van, or I got an opportunity to whatever, cook for Krishna. Jai. You know, he's looking for those opportunities, just like a greedy materialist is looking for an opportunity to make more money. You know, in the same kind of way. We should be greedy for Krishna's mercy. And the Brahmana is acting in such a way, greedy for performing more austerities for Krishna's pleasure. It's the wealth of the brahmanas. And the kings, because they had such great personalities in their kingdom, the kings were actually glorified by the actions of the brahmanas. And they were sincerely still more encouraged in pious acts by such brahmanas in a dignified way. And of course, they guide the kings as well. So it's a symbiotic relationship. The brahmanas don't have to worry about money. The kings give them the funds. And the brahmanas, in return, give the kings advice and so forth and so on. And some purification and all that good stuff. And provide opportunities for everyone in the kingdom to get purified. Because that's really actually what culture is. Culture in Sanskrit is Sanskritam, which means culture for the purpose of purification to re-enter the kingdom of God. So this is the real Vedic culture. This is what the culture we have here. So Lord Sri Krishna is worthy of all glories. I was just thinking this the other day. I was going, I'm beginning, you know, after many, many years, I'm beginning to understand why we actually do what we do as opposed to just doing it, knowing that this is the right thing to do or doing this because it saves me from going to hell or... But actually understanding why what we do, what we do, it's actually most natural to glorify Krishna because he's worthy of being glorified. And who else is being worthy of? I mean, you go out there in Sankirtan, who out there is worthy of being glorified? I mean, you see all these people and they're just like, man, really? You know, not worthy of being glorified. I'm sorry. To find a nice thing in them, you know, okay. It's neat that you lift a lot of weights with those cervezas. You got nice arms, you know. Wow, I'm impressed. Cerveza means beer. You know, okay, why? Strong guy from drinking all those beers. Wow, you got a tough liver, man. Wow, you know, how do you compliment people? You know, or maybe some students, you know, you look pretty smart. Okay, you know. Or nice shoes. Cool, well, you, really nice shoes you wear. But, you know, as far as full-on glorification... Sorry, I can't do it. But with Krishna, he's most beautiful. My guru, Radha Swami Maharaj, he grew up, he started serving in the New Vrindavan temple. And he was given, even in the winter, I think it was a burlap bag as his dhoti. You know, he lived off of horse oats. Lived an extremely austere life. He would walk in the snow, break ice on the pond to take a shower, you know, like that. Imagine eating horse oats and living, having a burlap bag as your dhoti, you know, while doing kirtan and having a bullet go through the window every now and then. Because the hillbillies were like those cult guys, and they just shoot right through the temple windows while they're doing kirtan. Imagine that. Not to mention some severe violence that took place there because a motorcycle gang wasn't, you know, so pious. But the point is regarding all this, with all this high level of austerity, he said when it came time to greet the deities, he would just look at the deities and how they are dressed and just go, wow, beautiful. Because everybody there was like in burlap bags, you know? It wasn't like, hey, look how beautiful he is. And then you see Krishna, well, this guy's got better dress than Krishna. You know, it was just, wow, look how awesome Krishna is. And Krishna is the most awesome. He is the most worthy of being glorified. So experiencing the pure Vedic culture, it's just natural for us to glorify Krishna because we are live an austere life. We don't have money for such nice clothing. We actually clothe Krishna. I was seeing, when I was at a temple in New York, I was seeing the solution to people's problem. The Matajis, they sometimes, Western Matajis, they have a whole closet just for shoes. They have about 50 pairs of shoes. They have another closet for their dresses. I'm not kidding you. And each shoe costs at least $60. They literally have, I don't know, $10,000 worth of shoes in one closet. I'm not kidding you. Many people do this. And dresses that are like, wow. And I saw they had this pledging where they pledged for the dresses of the deities. And I saw one Mataji go, I pledge, like, I don't know. She pledged a lot. And I could tell that she knew that this is the solution to her problems. By giving them money to dress Krishna, she knew that that would get rid of her desire to dress herself so nicely. And then that would give her pleasure and really solve her problems. I saw that actually in her consciousness, I felt at least. It seemed like that. And I thought, wow, right on. That's the solution. To actually do everything for Krishna. And not worry about yourself, not worry about if you're in your retired, so-called retired life, or in your future life, you just take care of Krishna. There's no such thing, I think, as a retired life for us. We just take care of Krishna. Krishna will take care of us. And if we don't take care of Krishna, Krishna won't take care of us. Just like a stray dog gets kicked out of here and kicked out of there. I offered a guy a book, and he said, no, no, no. And then, you know, as he passed it up, his friends are like, oh, no, here he comes again, you know, or, oh, this guy, you know. And you could just tell he's just not wanted everywhere. And that's what will happen to us if we really don't take care of Krishna. We will, like a stray dog just gets put up. But a dog with a master, he's a happy dog. He has a nice place to sleep, gets fed really nice like that, has nice activities to do. And he's happy, a happy dog. So we should be dogs of Brahma, dogs of Vaishnava, and have that kind of humble mood. And in this way, we don't expect, hey, I'm a somebody, aren't I? No, we should consider ourselves dogs of a Vaishnava. Then we can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Because really, when we have a problem, it's because we're not chanting the holy name of the Lord constantly. We've stopped chanting Hare Krishna, so we have a problem. It's guaranteed. You're going to have a problem when you stop serving Krishna. When you stop thinking of Krishna, you've got a problem. Afflicted by the threefold miseries, you're going to have a problem. So, you know, to solve our problems, we should simply be like these old, humble, or not necessarily old, but humble brahmanas in the Vedic society of constantly serving Krishna, glorifying our superiors, glorifying those that are more advanced than us, and even why not glorify even neophytes, and especially glorifying Krishna. Then, if we kind of get into this kind of mood, we will always be thinking of Krishna. Let me just read this last sentence. Lord Sri Krishna is worthy of all glories, and the praying brahmanas and others glorified themselves by chanting the glories of the Lord. So this is how it works. When you don't give, you don't get, right? I mean, I had to learn this the hard way. I grew up, and somewhere along the way, I got involved with a bunch of nonsense and maybe bad association, and I started to, I didn't learn the art of giving, although I was raised with it, but I think I just did it because I'm supposed to, and then somewhere along the way I just got off track. So at about age 25, I just literally crashed, physically, mentally, everything. And I decided that now I'm going to give up everything and I want to experience what's like to fall in love. I want to know what that's like. So I thought it was with a woman, was the way I was thinking. And pretty soon, I got a meeting of spiritual masters, and they're talking about, you know, God and all, but I'm thinking, well, I want to fall in love. That's my goal. But they keep, I keep meeting them, and I start living at a Sikh ashram, studying under a Siddha guru, and then the Hare Krishnas, they invited me over, and I moved in there. And then all of a sudden, I felt that love. Like Krishna gave me some mercy. I felt this love. Wow! It's kind of embarrassing. But one of the monasteries living in the temple, for some reason, I thought it was... I finished my service and then I just got off track. You know, I didn't understand where that came from. And it took me a while to realize, oh, Krishna is my love. In the original language, we got love of prema. Prema means loving God alone. So God, Krishna is our love. So as we take to this, got off track where I was going with all this. But if we go for glorifying Krishna, here it says we get glorified. So the point is those that choose to, oh yeah, giving, back to giving. So I learned somewhere along the way, actually, when I completely crashed, my mom invited me into doing some giving things. She's very much into giving to society and the church and everything. So, and I found that this is where the happiness is. The happiness really is in giving. You get actually happiness from that. And so I just tried to max that out because it got me out of my depression and out of my misery, always thinking of myself. What about me consciousness, which is really the root cause of my suffering. And then I started just giving. And then I started doing this so-called save at these other groups. And then I found out the whole Krishna conscious literature is about maxing out the giving to Krishna. That's the best way to go. I remember being in a mindset that wasn't right. And I just stumbled upon Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj. Ran into him. I just bumped into him. And he said, I didn't say anything. He just said to me, you need to give to us. That's your solution. I mean, I was looking for the solution. He said, he just said it like right there. He said something of the nature like, you need to give to us, and that is your solution. You need to serve us, and that's your solution. Something like that. And he wasn't saying I have an ego thing. It was just a totally pure thing, kind of like just representative, transparent via medium to Krishna, just give me the right medicine that I need to hear. And then I started serving the Hare Krishnas. And it works. Nothing works better. This is the highest service, of course, serving advanced souls like Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj or temple presidents or whatever, finding a guru and rendering service to him and authorized guru and ISKCON, you can't get a better way to go. And that's really the solution. Because when you give in the maximum way possible, which that is the maximum giving, then you're getting the maximum amount. I'm sure you've heard from the great leadership here that the way you get Krishna is you give Krishna. And what is the maximum giving of Krishna according to Prabhupada? You know, what is the most important activity? It's book distribution. What is the best way to spread Krishna consciousness? Prabhupada says it's book distribution. So this is the maximum giving. He says, what good is your 3-minute lecture going to do when after you talk, they just forget everything. Whereas if you gave them a book, they'll read it over again, the friends will read it. That's real preaching. Prabhupada says, preaching, what does it say in Bhagavad Gita? When I first joined the temple, I remember being so desperately in need of guidance. I just sat down and refused to move. I think I passed water a few times and took maybe a few hours of rest. And I just decided to read the Bhagavad Gita and not move until I know what to do. I was tired of doing without, you know, out of fear, out of being kicked here or there. I wanted to read it and know what to do next. So I got to the point where it says, no one is more dear than one who gives the message of this Gita to others. So I asked Dasarath Prabhu, what does this mean? He said, that means book distribution. I said, okay, that's what I want to do. He said, okay. So I just grabbed some books and walked out the temple and just started distributing them. And then, okay, this is the solution. It's so simple. It's so simple, we don't need to make it more difficult than that. And everything is provided. Sometimes we get hung up on, oh, we can't distribute books because all these other plans we have. But if it's the best way to spread Krishna consciousness, and Prabhupada says it must be given stress always, book distribution, then why not do that? Prabhupada is saying for us to do this, he knows better than we know. And so if we just even blindly follow the guru, actually Prabhupada said something like that. If I've had some successes, I blindly carried out the orders of my guru. That's intelligent. It's most unblind to do that. So by doing that, we attain all success, the maximum success, the maximum mercy. We should have the mood of my claim is first because I am the most biggest basket case in the universe. So my claim is first, I need the most mercy, and we should have that kind of mood and just distribute massive amount of quantities of books as we possibly can and get other people to do it, just like Vaisheshika Prabhu is doing. So this is a famous temple now, all over the world. Everywhere I go, people know about the success here and about the mood here. Every time I'm here, it's just such a humongous bhakti mood, such an appreciation for real preaching. Prabhupada says, preaching means book distribution. So because books are going out, the Krishna is definitely present here, and the devotees are charged, fired up. They got real bhakti. And you're attracting those people that want that, as opposed to turning into a Hindu temple, schmooze a few Indians, do a car puja, and get a couple grand out of them, and then eat and sleep for a while. You know, it's a completely different mood than that. I mean, this is about really pleasing Krishna, because this is activity. Prabhupada wants this, you know. He wants all of his disciples to try for this book distribution. This is what gives them the real satisfaction, is seeing those numbers of book distribution increase more and more. It's where the nectar's really at. It's considered the fast track back home to Godhead. You can do all kinds of service, which is cool, as long as it's in line with preaching, helping the preaching movement, then you're tapped in. You're tapped into where the real nectar is. It's not that you have to individually distribute the books, although that is wonderful, but help. You can always help in the mission. We need cooks, we need pujaris, everything else. Prabhupada said these temples are bases from which we just send out our troops to distribute tons and tons of books to fight this, to offset this Kali Yuga experience. So this is what we got to do. You know, if Prabhupada wants this, we just do it, we get the mercy. We get the maximum amount of mercy. Can't just, if you change anything that Prabhupada says, you're just limiting the mercy. It's just not intelligent. But intelligent is just, okay, guru wants water, we don't bring him milk, we just bring him water. Like that. And Prabhupada stressed this book distribution so much. And most important activity. So I thank you all really for being an incredible example of what Prabhupada wants from a temple, wants members of the temple to be doing. Same mood. Really, this is like kind of like a tuning fork for all the temples this temple is actually, in many, 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 many ways. We can, and Prabhupada says, judge it by its result. What is the result? Okay, well, you guys did this many books. Ah, that is the result. That is your success. One time, some devotee said, Prabhupada, we had this huge festival. We distributed this much matter. He's about to say how much prasadam. He said, cut him off and said, how many books were distributed? He said, 3,000 magazines. And Prabhupada says, that's the success of your festival. Just kept going. So it always brings it back to, what's the practical, real preaching going on here? You know, what is really being done for Krishna? All these living entities, they are suffering like anything, and Krishna doesn't like to see them suffering. They're only suffering because they don't have knowledge. Only way you get perfect knowledge is through a chain of realized masters. Prabhupada's books are the basis that gives people a chance. They're like the life rafts. Without a life raft, they're stuck on this ocean and sharks are just eating them up. They have no chance. They actually have no chance. Only with knowledge can they cross the ocean of repeated birth and death. It's impossible to cross without knowledge. The only way we get perfect knowledge is through an unbroken lineage of realized masters. So these books are the only chance that they have. To not distribute them means we're not giving them a chance. We can't walk by. Fortunately, Krishna has been blessing me with mercy. I remember walking by. I couldn't walk by these people because it was more painful to not give them the book than to take care of my whatever, so-called fatigue in my body or whatever. Like, I can imagine Jesus stuck on the cross. He's probably happier there than, you know, watching TV somewhere, you know, and not helping the people. Really. Now, I'm not saying I'm like Christ, but like Jesus. But as we advance, we're going to get like that. And that's a healthy thing. I mean, I'm sure you all have that as well in you. Otherwise, you wouldn't endeavor so much. You wouldn't show up so early on a Saturday morning and do all this yajna. So to get the potency to be able to help these living entities. And of course we're helping ourselves by doing this. It's not that we need to worry about ourselves so much. We do to some degree, because if you're not strong enough and you're throwing out a life raft and you don't know how to stay on the boat, then you can fall overboard. We should be strong enough and take care of ourselves enough so that we stay on the ship that's going back home to Godhead. And then just try to learn the art without falling overboard, throwing out as much life preservers as we can, all these people in this ocean of nations. And many of them grab a hold of the life raft and they come on board. We help people on board. We help other people learn this art of throwing out life rafts. Like many people, this temple is so unique because you have such a great soul leading it. But many temples, they don't understand that. Book, these are bases from which we distribute the books, you know, the bases. We send out our soldiers. And so we can help, we can be an example and then help other people. You know, maxing out, being an instrument just to max out the output of these life preservers, you know, and helping real people in, that's where the nectar's at. Because that pleases Krishna. And you get all the shakti from that. You ever feel like you don't have any energy? Well, it's because we're not linked up to what Krishna wants. When you just, second you link up to what Krishna, let's say you're so tired, and then the second you go out on book distribution, instantly you get energy. Tons of it. It's like, what happened? I have no fatigue now. Wow, I got this. It's like everything moves in the entire universe to help you with the book distribution. Krishna points out, hey, look at him. Oh, yeah, okay. I remember going out, leaving the van just totally exhausted. And Prabhupada said there's a brahmana on every street corner waiting to get picked up by the Sankirtan party. And sure enough, Krishna just, you know, gives us some extra mercy when we're like really tired, I guess, or something. Because there's one guy, he was there, he looked just like Jesus Christ, and he was just standing on the street corner, just going like this. And he's like, so obvious. I got to approach this guy. And I approached him, he's like, wow, I've been looking for this my whole life. This is all that I want. You know, he took all the books, gave me a nice donation, you know. So there's people like that, Prabhupada says, on every street corner. They're just, we might not recognize them. They might have a Harley Davidson t-shirt on, but they're still perhaps a brahmana waiting to get picked up by the Sankirtan movement. They're really all devotees, just covered over. And Krishna knows this. And we can also at least intellectually know this. And this become instruments to bringing them back to Goloka Vrindavan, where Krishna really wants us all. Where we can play all day, not have any troubles. Krishna doesn't have to worry about people in trouble. Like, I don't know if you guys have kids. I can imagine if it was, like for me, when I was 16, you know, my mom would worry all night long when I wouldn't come back home, you know, whatever. You know, parents extra strain, you know? So we don't want to be a burden to Krishna. We can help alleviate his burden, so to speak. Of course, he's always blissed out, but still, you know, we can help him in getting what he wants done. Then we'll have plenty of energy. Won't have to worry about money in our retirement, or money in our older age, I should say. And we can just have the blissful life that really will satisfy ourselves, as we learned from the first Sikshastika, you know. We get what we're really hankering after from doing the Sankirtan. You get what you really, really hanker after, are hankering after. It's love. Love of God is what the only thing that will really satisfy the soul. Everything else won't do it. One time somebody went to Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, I got a problem." You know, as people I'm sure do to temple, to any kind of management. And Prabhupada says, "Go out on Sankirtan." "No, but Prabhupada, I got a problem." "Go out on Sankirtan." "But, okay. And so the person did, and the problem was gone. Going to Sankirtan, your marriage problems, your financial problems, your whatever problems, just goes away. I would experience this unfailingly. And he also says, if book distribution goes nicely, then I assume now everything's going nicely. Because it's a mystical thing. I would go out from the Tucson Temple and distribute books with problems, worrying about my other service here or there. I'd come back, and people would say, every time you stay out there, because every time you go out there, lots of people come to the restaurant. And when you don't, it's really dead. You know, the Prashadam restaurant. And then I would come back, and somebody would just completely clean all my stuff, or maybe take care of the other service that I had to do, so I'd have more time for book distribution. This is the most important activity. Best way to spread Krishna consciousness. Giving people a chance. Not worrying about yourself. The mood of the gopis. What do you get out there? It's like bad weather or whatever. Honk, pollution, people, you know, just so many problems. You know, you're not getting anything materially from this. You know, they're not giving you a lot of money. So, but you're getting love of Krishna. You're getting the ultimate reward, which is, this is like a good thing to say to these new bhaktas, you know, or anybody, is your ultimate reward is being satisfied with the service itself. That's the very highest. The gopis get that. When they're willing to go to hell forever to serve Krishna, Krishna blesses them with that benediction, that to be satisfied with the service itself. You cannot get anything greater. And when you get to the point where you're just satisfied with the service itself, you know you've matured nicely. So that's what we're really trying to get. And that's love. That's pure love. So that's how we want it, where we want to get to. That's what we're going for. It's not like, okay, I get this position as temple president, and then I can just rule over everybody. Become God that way. Or when I get my own Sankirtan van, I don't have to deal with these this and that. Or when I get enough Lakshmi, then I can just do this or that. Or whatever it might be. There's no end to that kind of thinking. And ultimately, there's no end to devotional service. And that's wonderful. Like, and just to be satisfied with the service itself. That's the goal. Is there any comments or questions? I actually made it for 43 minutes. Cool. I'll just read the purport one more time here. Then the Lord personally entered the city accompanied by elderly relatives and invalid brahmanas with their wives, all offering benedictions and singing the glories of the Lord. Others also praise the glories of the Lord. Any comments or questions?
I'm sure there will be.
Yeah.
Can I have the microphone?
Anyway, thank you, Paramesh, for a very nice class. Very good lesson. I was thinking, you know, why is it that to ask you, why do you think that many temples in ISKCON and many temple authorities or devotees don't see the importance of book distribution as opposed to the importance of, like, buying temple property and things.
Okay. For answering the question, are you asking that in agreement that that's what you see or why I see it that way?
No, yeah. I see that too.
Okay, good.
And I'm wondering. I'm not asking why do you see it that way, but
why is it that way, and what could you do to
enlighten these people?
Well, you know, for me, I don't want to make offenses because all these people running these temples that aren't maybe pumping out a lot of books are amazingly wonderful souls. And GBC is, you know, wonderful. I mean, to take on that kind of responsibility, these are really wonderful souls. So I don't want to make any offenses whatsoever. I want to appreciate everything that they do. And I've wondered this for years. But I maybe can share a couple of general themes, I think. And I'm, again, this is maybe 5 years from now, I'll think completely differently with more understanding. But at least from my point, hopefully not making any offenses. I think, you know, Prabhupada, when early on, the devotees were distributing a lot of books. And at one point they switched and many of the brahmacharis became householders. And I think there was a shifting because of this higher level of need of things. Then they went into collecting. And from this collecting, they amassed a lot of money and they bought a lot of property. And with a lot of property comes a lot of maintenance. Just the practical reality. When I first joined, I wanted to distribute books. I said, well, sorry, you can't distribute books because we need the temple painted. We need this done. We need that. You know, it's just a, you know, time, place, and circumstance thing. Whereas I wanted to follow the basic principle, as it says in Nectar of Devotion, preach, you don't worry about, and when there's enough money, then you build a temple. Not go get money, the doors open, I don't know if you were worried about the heat. maybe it's just Krishna's way of getting fresh air for him, I don't know. So that somewhere along the way, there was a shift from, let's get money, because maybe preaching's too hard. Maybe that was part of it. I was just talking to somebody on the phone yesterday. He's like, this preaching is so difficult. This book distribution is so difficult, you know? And you can kind of tell he's kind of like, wants to take a little break from it. And that's the tendency, right? It is difficult. And then collecting is so easy. I mean, I don't know if you've ever collected. It's just like taking candy from kids, you know? And you get a lot of money, and then you can, you know, you don't have to work so hard. You can make a nice big building, you know. And so, without making too many offenses, I honestly kind of feel that as my... let me put it this way. The times that I've given up book distribution and the times that I've stuck with book distribution, let me just apply it to myself and that only. So that's why I won't make offenses. The times that I gave up book distribution when I didn't feel very productive in book distribution. I remember there was 2 days in a row where I distributed one book in 2 days. And I started to get a business. But after doing the business in about 6 months, I just was like, wasn't doing it for me. Even though I was giving a lot of money to temples, it still wasn't satisfying for me. So I got back into book distribution. And I decided to stick with it. And but there's been many times, and then I got some training, and so I became more proficient at it, getting more books out. And but there's been many times when I felt like this is really, really difficult. Traveling book distribution even adds an extra difficulty. So, but if I just get a little bit of sanity, a strong sadhana adds with the difficulty. You got to do really strong sadhana to be effective on book distribution. So, but if we look at it maturely, as this is the best activity for us to become truly pure devotees, really, really real devotees, because it forces us to have a strong sadhana. You aren't going to get any extra stuff for it, and you're going to just you're going to become really austere, renounced. You're going to be free from this bodily conception of life, as we all have experienced by doing it in a very, very quick way. So maybe some aren't so willing and ready to take on that. I've met many people that gave up their strong sadhana and then thus gave up the book distribution. Whereas if you keep a tight sadhana, you got the morning program, you got the evening program, and then you do books in between, you do that 7 days a week, you have no time. You're always tapped into, you're always in the fire, you're always enthused, you're always going, wow, this is nectar. But the second you veer from that a little bit, you start thinking that, you forget that that's where the nectar is, or it's just painful to get back into that. So, hard to say without making any offenses, but I think in general, we can say that, I'll speak on behalf of many very senior gurus in our movement have said that with book distribution means you're going to have people come into the temple, which means you're going to have opportunities to make devotees, because this really makes devotees. A lot of people find it extremely, excruciatingly difficult and painful for themselves to take your average basket case today who is on drugs and has done all kinds of illicit things by the age of 11 or 13 at least, especially in California. Complete basket cases. And you have to just accommodate them in an enormous way for 1 or 2 years and go through some severe psychological difficulties and extra austerities for your average person to become a devotee. And then after 2 years, maybe they start becoming useful. So, and not to mention many of those leave within those 2 years and it's like, God. And maybe not 2 years, maybe just 6 months-ish. It depends, different people. And whereas it's so much easier just to go, hey, we'll get a car puja going for these Indians who are your devotees. They're so nice. They got the nice etiquette. They'll even cook for us. And then we'll just, schmooze them a little bit and get a nice $5,000 paycheck. It's so much easier to do that. It's just easier. But Prabhupada wanted us to make devotees and not have Indian social clubs, not have Hindu temples, but actually preach and make devotees and get people going back home to Godhead. So it just requires a higher level of austerity. It's more difficult. I think that's the general theme. I think that's not only me saying that or thinking that, but also many senior people. I've also heard this recently that surprised me, and it makes sense. I overheard it in India, where some senior person said, oh, and that's why we don't have much book distribution, is because we don't have nice book distributors. Haven't had nice book distributors to train people up nicely and to give people the proper mood. Like, we've had some real scamming book distributors in America, And some of them are still scamming. And, here, this is for you. Just give a donation. Oh, you can take it home with you. Oh, you don't have a donation? And they'll just grab it out of their hands and go to the next guy without even saying goodbye. And people are like, it's a scam. And then they make a lot of money and they, it's been a lot of that in our history. So
we say here, Pashasika says that our prime directive is to always leave everyone with a good impression.
Yes, and that's why you have long-term success here. And that's why you don't go down the street and hear people say, stay away from them, they're scammers. So yes, Vaisheshika is an incredibly wonderful example of everything, and especially that, of leave everyone with a favorable impression, absolutely. But, and of course, Vaisheshika Prabhu could train people up. And there's some others, catching on also in that nice way. So I've heard that. But of course, that doesn't apply to people like Vijay or Vaisheshika Prabhu. But there's been a lot of that, maybe not pukka distribution going on. So they don't want to see that happen again. That's part of it, I think, also. Nice question.
Some other comments or questions from others?
The solution is follow in the footsteps of such great souls as Vaisheshika Prabhu, you know, who is, when I first met him, I thought, this guy must be faking it, you know. This guy really, nobody can be this, really this pure-hearted and enthusiastic and always positive. I'll just hang out with him for a little bit and I'll see that you can't maintain this mood. And I did a whole seminar in New York with him for a while. It's the first time I think I met him, book distribution seminar. And my God, the whole weekend, not a moment did he drop from this super ecstatic, elevated consciousness of just enthusiasm galore. And for hours on Sankirtan, for hours during, it was just unbelievable. And I've never seen him other than that way, ever. I've spent a fair amount of time with him. He's incredible. So if we can have that kind of mood, we can really make things happen. I'm a very senior person. I'm trying to duplicate what he's doing a little bit. I thought about it in another temple. And the senior person running it says, well, if you can get a tenth of the Shakti going that Vaisheshika Prabhu has, then maybe we can do a little something. You know, I mean, really, the potency that such a personality has is wonderful. And if we can see, how did he get all this potency? Reading and distributing Prabhupada's books, memorizing shlokas, having a wonderful service attitude. Just get into that as much as you can, and the potency is there. To become a real spiritual master, to inspire from I hear this temple wasn't doing so great way back when, and now it's just an amazing place. I mean, what an example for the whole world.
We also do have plans to get a nice property and develop it too. We don't want to give the impression that we're only about book distribution, but
no. But you guys are doing it the right way. Prabhus are doing it the right way. Keep book distribution as a focus, and then from that, whatever happens is cool. Like Prabhupada says, it's better to, like, you know, we keep preaching. We keep distributing the books. Whether we sleep under the tree or live in a palace, doesn't matter. Our focus is book distribution, the preaching. And if Krishna provides a big temple, fine. If Krishna doesn't, fine. But we keep distributing the books. That's actually a quote from, you know, a theme of a quote that Prabhupada said. If we keep that focus, and Krishna will be very pleased. And we'll actually do humongous. But the second we veer from that, put something before the preaching, and you find everything starting to clog up and break down, more problems, and people without the proper bhakti, and then it's a big mess. I've just seen it over and over again with myself and with that others.
We have our newest book distributor in the temple. Lalita Gopi was born
Hare
last week.
Krishna. Oh, smiling. Hari Bol. Hi. Yeah. More soldiers. We need more soldiers. This program makes more soldiers.
I think one thing is that people are used to the idea of temple worship, you know, that you go to the temple, you see the deities, and there's a big building there, and you're the house of God, and you feel the presence of God in this place, in the temple. But people are not as much interested, or it's a newer thing, this idea of Sankirtan, that you take the bhakti that overflows out into the street, and you share it with everybody. And it's that thing, that changing of the heart, that comes with the chanting, that's not, it's unmanifest, it's not tangible, you can't see it with your senses, the way you can see a temple, you know? Like neophytes, we see like the universal form, we see the giant universe, and it reminds us of God, because we can actually perceive it, you know? Whereas this unmanifested form of Krishna that the saints see in their hearts, yang shama sundara machintya guna swarupam, it's like, it's less, you know, it's less practical, you know, less tangible. So I think it's harder for us to have faith that, well, the book distributor is actually going out and they're meeting people and people are touching the books and they're discussing them and they're taking them home and they're giving some donation. But if we don't see those people come to the temple and join and give more donations and everything like that, we may think, well, nothing tangible happened, but something really tangible. This is actually, I think I agree with you that what we're really about, the reason we have temples really, is so that people will become attracted to come and chant and discuss Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, and that the temples, like you said, they're bases for book distribution. This is a Sankirtan movement. Mm-hmm. It's not. We do temple worship, and our serving the forms of the Lord helps our Sankirtan, but we're really a Bhagavat movement of hearing and chanting, but that may not be as it may not be as tangible and manifest. So we have a building, we have a bank account, mm-hmm. something. Mm-hmm. We could say, look, what we've got some result. Mm-hmm. But I'd like that you were pointing out that Srila Prabhupada would say, oh, you did 23,000 books for Christmas Marathon. That's mm-hmm. your result. You know, that's, yeah. And those people whose lives are being changed, we are working here on following up with people, trying to bring them into our association more, that we distribute books to them. But a lot of times we distribute a book to somebody, we meet somebody nice, during the day on a book distribution, but then we never see them again, you know. Mm-hmm. Or they say they're going to come to the Sunday feast, but they don't come, or maybe we're not there when they're there or something, so we don't. But actually, you know, if you talk to anybody who's a devotee, how did they become a devotee? Mm-hmm. They got a book at some point and started reading it, and so that those tangible results really are there, but they're less manifest. People's minds are changing, you know, that we don't see that.
Yeah, and the last memories thing, I think the last memories thing, you know, Prabhupada memories
video. Sikantas,
you see that one? Where
Ramaswar and...
I remember somebody saying, how, Prabhupada, you say that country will become, government will become Krishna conscious.
How will this be done?
Ramaswar.
You know, and it will be done by massive book distribution. It will just change the consciousness of the people, and people will want Krishna conscious leaders. That's like ecstatic, you know. So it's where it's at. When I go to places year after year, I go to these shops where they say something nasty to me, and I go to other shops where they give a nice donation, and then 3 years later, that shop that was nasty is no longer in business, and the other shop that gave me a lot is flourishing, or at least doing pretty good, and the consciousness from, you know, 12 years ago with, oh my God, from distributing maybe 20,000 books in the area, it's just completely different and much nicer. So, yeah, we can see it right before our eyes. Things change. Krishna can do things real quick when we were doing a lot of book distribution.
When I first started distributing books in the United States, we have time. We have plenty of time, actually. We should go to like 10-15.
Okay.
But when I first started distributing books in the 1970s, mid-1970s, most Americans hadn't really heard of Bhagavad Gita. Really. And I wasn't so sure about it myself, what it was, you know, or how famous it was or how important it was, because most people didn't know. Mm-hmm. And now it's become quite more well-known, and yoga has become more popular, but not everybody knows, you know, but mostly they think of it as a kind of a gymnastics or an athletic, you know, thing for losing weight and health and stuff. But at the same time, those who get into yoga, you know, are starting to learn that there's a spiritual aspect to it, a mental aspect, there's meditation, and then they hear that there's these scriptures like Bhagavad Gita that explain yoga, you know, and... So it's becoming a lot. It's, you know, the change is there. It's more gradual, but it is it's undeniable, this change that we're distributing these books. It's having that effect. It's
for sure. Thank you. Yes.
One comment, Prabhu. Like you know, as you said, you know, I got an opportunity to move out of Bay Area for a few months, and I was in Southern California, Laguna Beach, and you know, when people, devotees, you know, oh, you are from San Jose. And, oh, so these guys are, you know, book distributors. So that connotation is there. But, you know, we have often found and need blessings from all of you to see that we get a bigger temple now. So book distribution is great, but need a bigger temple. And the same principles which we apply for book distribution, and Vaisheshika Prabhu called this his personal agenda 2 weeks back. So we need mercy from you and blessings to moving into a larger temple. Same principle, the more you show, the more you goes. So we want to have a bigger temple. The more we'll show, the bigger devotee community will set. All the four principles he said for book distribution, we need to apply all those things in temple creation. And
yeah, I don't want to put a wrench in the works, but the reason why I do only book distribution, as I've seen, some buildings being built without bhakti in it, without the bhakti, nothing happens. Nothing happens. You have to pay somebody to offer the prasad. You have to pay somebody to clean up. It's all pay. It's just, I got to pay you now. I got to hire somebody from India. No local people get made. No real, of course they're real devotees, but I mean, you have to pay everybody. It's just like, and if you don't pay them, they won't do it. So be careful. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. But if you're distributing books, the bhakti's there. Because you can't do book distribution without bhakti. It's not possible. And the bhakti is what will attract people. You'll have full temples if you got the bhakti. So as long as book distribution is going on, you can have, like, this is a full temple, And the buildings, the economic development, Krishna can do that. That's no big deal. But the bhakti, it's a rare thing. I mean, look at the Christians. They got big, big buildings, right? Wow, whoop-de-doo, What's the level of bhakti? The difference between a moon and fireflies, Sunday for an hour, you do some service, okay. And like a firefly, goes on and off. But a moon, serious bhakti, that's what we want to be, is moons. Yes.
What about advertising? I always think that we should have some like billboards up about the books, like on 101 and stuff like that, when people drive by, and that creates a demand so that when they finally see the book distributor, they say, oh, yeah, I saw the sign. This is what I was interested in that.
I've thought about that a lot, actually, in many different ways. Hard to dredge my memory. I was also thinking, just if you just put the Hare Krishna mantra up there, that'll purify. Like, millions of people just get purified. It's like, oh, driving by God today. And the kids go, Hare Krishna, what does that mean, Dad? Never mind, son. I don't know. So, incarnation of Vishnu, who knows what will come out of the people, but they all get purified. And yeah, I thought about also, some quote from Bhagavad Gita, get your Bhagavad Gita today, something like that. And then when they see it, they'll be like, oh, I've heard of this. Cool. Yeah. Nice. And the Christians and the Mormons are putting billboards up there and television commercials and stuff like that. It's really wonderful to remind people of God. Yeah. Very nice. Pretty pricey, though. For us, it's just not practical, right, at our stage in our development. Pretty darn pricey. But you all here in ISV might be able to practically do it.
I had one comment about the Brahmins not banking money, and it made me think a lot, because when a lot of us joined, we were hippies first, and then we joined the Hare Krishna movement. But it made me think that, at least in European culture, there's this tradition of despising the middle class. The bourgeoisie, épater la bourgeoisie. Mm. The aristocrats didn't have to worry about, how are we going to be respectable and secure. And the peasants and workers, they weren't going to anyway. So they had different concerns. And the whole idea of middle class respectability and bourgeois values was something that people always made fun of. The artists, the intellectuals, kind of prided themselves on, not being worried about, will they be, sort of considered like solid citizens and decent people and things like that. But it's there's something beautiful about how the Brahmins, they're really only concerned with truth.
They're really only concerned with spiritual knowledge, and they don't have to be worried about, like you said, austerity is the wealth of the Brahmin. They're not worried about piling up a lot of material riches, which, you know, like they say, you can't take it with you. And that was attractive to, I think, the hippie culture of the 60s and early 70s that I came out of, that, you know, our parents' generation, they'd fought in World War II and they'd moved to the suburbs and they got, you know, they bought houses for the first time in the families. You know, we had a house and a lawn and mowed the lawn, and they had some security, and they thought we're providing for economic stability for the family. But we all felt like, yeah, but what's the goal of life? What's the point of life? It's, you know, there was this, Paul Goodman wrote a book called Growing Up Absurd, but he was describing this idea of the sort of the frustration so much as the fact that this the 1950s suburban middle class lifestyle didn't provide the edge, didn't provide the excitement, didn't provide the juice of life anymore. It seemed like there was the movie The Graduate, where he, you know, his father has this, I don't know if you all have seen some of these movies and these ideas, but they have this swimming pool in the backyard and everything like that, but there's no beauty and truth there, you know. So the artists and the Brahmins and also the saints and religious people and everything, they're looking for the beauty and truth in life, and not just the security and respectability and so-called security and establishment, so that you can sit and watch TV and eat in front of the television and then get old and die. And it's not secure anyway. It's not substantial. It doesn't stay. You know, it's just lulling into a kind of sleepy, illusory security.
Yes. Thank you for the nice comment. Good point. Any other comments or questions?
I was just about to say that we have Guru Puja afterwards, but
we have good what?
Guru Puja after this program, but. The devotee who is going to perform Guru Puja, he's going to be here for in another 5 or 10 minutes or at any time. So until then, you know, this class can go on.
Okay. Thank you.
Why don't you tell us, Parameshwar Prabhu, I noticed you had a Missouri license plate on there. That made me curious. What is your traveling Sankirtan program doing, and where's your home base? And
Kansas City, we got Dhanavir Maharaj's place. What's it called? Rupanuga Vedic College. And about a year and a half ago, I was asked to expand Traveling Sankirtan, because it was just me distributing books there. And by Krishna's mercy, we've invited, I think you all probably, or a lot of you have met, Madhukari Prabhu, got initiated recently. That's an amazing person. Wow. First year in book distribution, he was number 9 in the world. This year, he's more than likely going to be number 1 in North America. He's just really fired up, capable personality. And Bhakti Vasilios, probably met him. He's doing really big now. And we got Ryan Itai, and Bhakti Dean jumped on board. So we got about, and then these two are from Atlanta that go back to Atlanta. I guess Vedasar, the temple president, and asked me to train them up and return them to that temple.
So you're living in this van outside?
Yeah, we have 4 vans like that, and 3 of them are operating right now, traveling around North America. We're covering all the major campuses in the country, and Prabhupada, I think it's an intelligent use of our time to distribute large quantities of books to the student class of people in America. So we cover all the universities and give a lot of people a chance. I don't know how many books. We probably distribute a good 100,000 books a year. And we're trying to continue to build it. We would like to have many, many buses. Prabhupada said 100 buses is not sufficient for North America. So I would like to make at least 101 buses with devotees. Have the desire to distribute books. That's the main thing.
Do you stay in campsites, or you stay at temples, or
temples when we're in the area, if they're willing? And campsites are expensive, so we just go to Walmart's. They let you pretty much camp there, Walmart's parking lots at night, without getting harassed.
Do they let you distribute books there too, or?
Well, you get permission, and then they'll let you. Or you can do it undercover, which we do sometimes. But we mostly just approach the colleges and concerts during the summer. And we found the Hispanic people very receptive. So we go to like swap meets and things like that and approach this. And then we find a nice street scene, like in the Santa Cruz is a pretty good street scene. Stuff like that's our primary places.
Why don't you paint your van and you could have a, we were talking about billboards, but you could have a moving billboard if you had a nice artist.
We're undercover everywhere pretty much. Like an undercover guerrilla movement. I call it, with all these buses, back in the old days when they had buses, oh, this is sounding like a guerrilla movement. You know, we take over the world this way. And, you know, in a healthy way. No need guns. Just distribute the books.
We should have, like, clubs, Hare Krishna clubs on the different campuses, and then they could invite you and you wouldn't have to be undercover.
That would be very nice. Yeah. That would be
wonderful. In the university, San Jose State University, we have a club now. Mm-hmm. I think there was something at Stanford, but I don't know. Mm-hmm. Some of our devotees have left who might have. Do you know if they're still, Bhakti Jonathan, do you know? I used to have one at Berkeley, but that's a long time ago now. I have to go start it again.
It's a good place for one. Especially approaching the extremely intelligent people and cultivating them. The Chaupati Temple is having a lot of success doing that, going to their MIT of India, I forgot what that's called.
ITT.
Yeah, and attracting some incredibly intelligent people and wanting to become brahmacharis. I think that should be our theme as well here in America. And it was very fun distributing books in Berkeley. It's a very high level of interest, people that actually could understand what we're saying. And when they read those books with that nice brain, you know, that's really going to move them. You know, the future leaders are usually the most intelligent people. So, you know, on some level, they can become Krishna conscious. Prabhupada said that this book distribution, he really stressed book distribution in America because everybody follows the Americans. If we can make Krishna conscious nation in America, then the whole world will follow. Also, you stress the book distribution to the student population because they're the most intelligent. They're very receptive at that age. So it's, for me, I just want to be useful and a very good use of my energy, I believe, is distributing books at colleges in the U.S. Yeah.
If you're staying at a Walmart parking lot, how do you shower? Do you carry?
We have a shower in there. It's a pop-up shower with a hose that goes outside the door.
We used to carry the milk carton. You know, like you get a gallon of milk. We used to fill it with water.
Yeah.
We could with this 1.5 gallons. You could brush your teeth, bathe, and everything.
Yeah, we do the same thing, except we have a little showering thing in there. Yeah, real simple, practical life. And the nice thing about this simple life, I mean, some people might be thinking, oh, man. But really, it forces you to take shelter of the holy name. It forces you to take shelter where the nectar really is. Really, and very quickly we get free from this bodily conception of life. Worrying about the body, this and that. It requires, the body's amazing. The mind's amazing, how much stress it can handle. And, we just get stronger that way. On the spiritual platform very quickly.
I heard on the newscast recently because, a lot of people are struggling with foreclosures and losing their homes and everything. And I heard someone speaking about how psychologists say that it's actually more painful to be worrying about, what's going to happen, I'm going to lose the house, then once it actually happens, it's almost like a relief, It's been for 2 or 3 years, we've been sitting here struggling, how are we going to live, how are we going to survive? And then it happens, and we got some other place, and we're renting now, and we're making do, somehow or another. But it's the anxiety of anticipating danger, anticipating loss of material wealth and things like that, that is more painful than actually living without.
Just to be dependent on Krishna is really where the nectar is. Yeah, that's a very interesting point you made. Yeah. And that happened to me. I was homeless for a while on... I thought I looked at it as a good thing because wow, how I got freed from so many anxieties in my mind, thinking I need, and realizing I don't need all this stuff. In fact, I'm just as happy as I was with everything. Now, you know, and then, yeah, nice comment. Simple living and high thinking. It's really where it's at. And the more we adjust our lives so we have more time for book distribution, the more nectar it is. It might be painful in the adjustment in your mind, but that's all the pain is just for a little while. And then you get the nectar. Oh, I'm going to throw this out, you know, that we know it wouldn't be good for us. Throw it in the garbage or give it to the swap meet that you're going to do.
I'm having it right now.
Yeah. Give all the stuff that keeps you from your Krishna consciousness. Give it to the people. Give the whatever.
Sidewalk sale.
Yeah, very nice. Very nice. And then make some money from it and give it to the temple. Wonderful. Smart move.
I think our pujari has arrived for us. Then, are you going to be doing the offering? Yeah, Kishore. Okay.
Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.
Jai.
Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you for tolerating me. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much.